welcome to Where is God's Word with your host, Bruce Musselman. This program addresses the topic surrounding the inerrancy and the preservation of the Bible. Bruce Musselman was a pastor, Bible teacher, and conference speaker for over 40 years. He went home to be with the Lord on May 15th of 2020. These classic editions of Where is God's Word represent Bruce at his best, sharing the timeless truths from the Bible. So let's join Bruce now for this classic edition of Where is God's Word.
I'm so glad to meet with you once again, and the Lord's given us another day. It's cloudy, but it gives us rain, which we need to have. And so we can thank the Lord for all of his goodness to us. And some days he gives us sunshine, some rain. It's sort of like our physical life on this earth. But God says to the saved person, it says, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to his purpose. And so it's a day closer to the time when Jesus comes back and rules from his throne in the city of Jerusalem over the whole world. And so we can rejoice in that thought. But our program is to uphold the Bible as God's word, and the devil's program is to, of course, attack it, question it, and tear it down. And but here where we're on the side of the Lord, so we'll talk about the Word of God today and uphold it. Now in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1, and I'll read a few verses here and comment on it, and then we're going to give the history of some of the attack that has been made on the Bible and try to bring it up to the present time. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. So the first time we're introduced to the devil, he is called the serpent, and he says, yea, hath God said. He comes on takes a positive approach, and then he says, did God say this? And so he starts right off by questioning the word of God. And so we know that today that Satan attacks the word of God. And he has plenty of his agents that are all around to attack God's word because they don't want to be under the authority of God. So God's authority is shown through the Bible and through his word. So they spend a lifetime talking to it against the word of God. And there is many seminaries, many colleges and so on where professors spend a lifetime, and many religious people also spend a lifetime attacking the Word of God, and a whole mass of literature and a whole libraries of books have been written to undermine the authority of the Bible. And so, yet Jesus said that heaven and earth should pass away, but my words will not pass away. And so God has given his words. He protects his words. He keeps his words. And to the child of God, why, they are a great blessing to him. So the devil says, yea, hath God said. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. Well, she has put out her revised version, and so she takes out the word freely. God said, we may freely eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. She just takes out that word freely. Salvation is a free gift given to us when we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and as our Savior. Lord means he's the boss because he's our creator, and Savior means he's the one that will get us into heaven by his death on the cross, the shedding of his blood, and the resurrection from the dead. And so when we get saved, we are saved from God's wrath. We are saved from God's judgment. We are saved from hell. We are saved from separation from God. We are saved from the penalty and punishment of our sins through the Lord Jesus Christ. And this comes as a free gift when we receive Christ. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it. Well, God didn't say, neither shall ye touch it. And so Eve is actually putting God in a bad light. And so there is millions of books written and millions of people that accuse God all the time. And, you know, I wouldn't question what God says, even though I may not understand it, because if you would even study one molecule, it is so vastly complicated that we're just beginning to find that out. And for a human being, his mind is so inferior to the mind of God that it would be ridiculous to question Almighty God. Now, she says, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And God didn't say, lest you die, lest ye die. He said, you shall surely die. And when we turn down Jesus Christ, we will surely die. A person will surely go to hell. A person will surely be under the wrath and the judgment of God. But Jesus has taken that wrath and judgment. And so she says, lest you die. And so there is a question whether a person's future will be in hell according to her. Now, the devil answers her revision of the Bible, and he says this, the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. Now, the devil says, well, you will not be punished from your sin. You will not be separated from God. You will not go to hell. You'll somehow get by. And so that was the devil's message. So the devil starts right out questioning, and then he goes from questioning to attacking God's word. And so we have many churches, many denominations, many seminaries where they train ministers. It's just education and attacking God's word. And if a person gets educated in a typical college, he hears plenty of attacks on God's word. So I'll start in the Old Testament. One of the men at the time of Jesus Christ was a Jewish rabbi in Alexandria, Egypt, and his name was Philo. And what Philo did was that he allegorized the Bible. In other words, he taught, and he wrote in such a way that many of the stories of the Bible didn't really happen. But they were put there to teach Greek philosophy. And so he gave explanations of these stories. He told the stories, and then he gave a philosophical explanation of these stories. And many liberal modernist preachers do the same thing. They tell the story. They don't maybe attack it, but they don't believe that it really happened. And then they use it to teach their philosophies in their churches. And yet the Bible teaches that these stories that are given in the Bible are history. And you read books where they'll deny that they were history, but they were actually the creator of this universe came down and he spoke to people like he spoke to Abraham. He spoke to Isaac. He spoke to Jacob. He spoke to the prophets of the Old Testament. And we know that it was God that spoke to them because God says, I know the past and I know the future. And so the future is told and talked about in the Bible. That's the proof that the Bible is the Word of God, and that is prophecy. Prophecy is predicting the future. I know in some schools they'll say prophecy is foretelling. Well, anybody can foretell. Anybody can talk. That's, as they say, talk is cheap. But the prophets of God, they told the future. And many times they told things that would happen right in their day, and they came to pass. They happened right then. And then they told things that would happen in the future. For instance, Jeremiah said that the Jewish people that had been taken off the land of Israel would come back 70 years later. And that's exactly what happened. They came back 70 years later. And the Bible is full of hundreds of detailed prophecies predicting the future. So the first five books of Genesis were attacked in the 19th century, and they developed this theory. They call it J-E-P-N-D, and they claim that these scribes about the time of Hezekiah put these the books of Moses together. Well, this was long after Moses had died. Jesus said Moses wrote those five books. And there are people that studied these things, and they said that Moses couldn't have wrote it because man at that time could not write. But then they found out that at the time of Moses and long before that, people were writing. And for instance, the Code of Hammurabi. And Hammurabi had written out a code, and of course it was put on clay cylinders long before Moses. Hammurabi is named in the book of Genesis, and his name is Amraphel. And he and some of his friends who were kings had attacked Sodom and Gomorrah and taken Lot as captive. And so Abraham took a group of his servants and went up and attacked the armies and actually killed Hammurabi in that battle that took place up outside of the city of Damascus. So they said that Moses didn't write it. And yet one of the greatest scholars in the world in the beginning of the 20th century, about 1910, was a guy named Robert Dick Wilson at Princeton University. And he pointed out that if these scribes that these people were saying put together those books, and they simply put together legends of tribal deities, why didn't they have Assyrian words mixed in with the Hebrew words? He pointed out that they had Egyptian words mixed in with the Hebrew words. For instance, in the United States, since it's one of the great largest cultures in the world, many of the English words are going into the languages of different countries. I just read in a paper recently that China did not want to use English words as part of their language, and they made some kind of law against it. Well, when Moses wrote, and he wrote it in Hebrew, he used a number of Egyptian words that were mixed in. It wasn't Assyrian words, which would have been Aramaic words, but it was Egyptian words. And so there is many proofs that Moses wrote the first five books of the Bible, just as the Lord Jesus taught and as Jewish historians taught. We get to the time of Daniel. Daniel predicted the future. And so they attack him because he had told history that took place later on. And yet we know Daniel wrote it because he knew the details of the court of Nebuchadnezzar. And one of the men that was on the staff of Nebuchadnezzar was a man named Ashpenaz. And Daniel wrote about Ashpenaz, and recently they found actually a clay cylinder with Ashpenaz's name on it. And so the Bible, by archaeology and by history and everything, demonstrates its authority and demonstrates its proof. Now, the Old Testament, of course, is attacked in great detail, and you'll see these attacks, and they try to explain everything in it. But Jesus taught it was the Word of God, and because of the prophecy, we know that it was given by God. Now, we get to the time of the New Testament. And God wrote the New Testament in Koine Greek. Any Greek teacher, the first thing you'll learn is the New Testament was written in Koine Greek. That means common Greek. The Greek text behind the King James is Koine Greek, is common Greek. But there was a person in Alexandria, and he, to make it acceptable to the philosophers, he revised the New Testament Greek and used classical Greek. I sometimes explain it like this. You know, common Greek would be like, row, row, row your boat gently down the stream. Merrily, 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 life is but a dream. Classical Greek would be, propel, propel, propel your craft placidly down the liquid solution. Ecstatically, 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 existence is but a delusion. And so he revised it into classical Greek. You know, the corrupt modern counterfeit Bibles are based on this classical Greek, not on common Koine Greek. And that is one of the differences. And so the New Testament is written Koine Greek. It was translated into the italic text, the old Latin text. And the King James is based on the Koine Greek text. It is also based on the italic old Latin text. And then it was translated into the Syriac Peshitta. And the translators looked at the Syriac Peshitta. Now, the Syriac Peshitta and the Koine Greek text, the old Latin italic text, all these are basically the same thing. But the text of origin, it has been changed. Now, right after this, after 100, a group comes out, and they're called the Gnostic. We could say that means know-it-all. And they invent their religion, and they say that God is unknowable, but he has revealed himself in ions, in different manifestations. And it was not Christian. They had as a combination of philosophy and pagan science and religion and Christianity. It was a combination of this. And if you read the writings of Irenaeus, Irenaeus was trained by Polycarp, and Polycarp was trained by John the Apostle. And we have a lot of the writings of Irenaeus, and he's constantly talking about these people that were corrupting the scriptures. And most of the corruption took place in Alexandria, Egypt. And so the corruption started in Alexandria, Egypt of the scripture. And we have papyri of these corruptions today. Then Origen took these corruptions, and he was a scholar, lived between 185 and 254. And he mixed Christianity with Platonic philosophy. For instance, the idea of purgatory was introduced by Origen. And Plato said that he's not good enough for heaven, not bad enough for hell. Therefore, there must be an intermediate place. The idea of purgatory is about as non-Christian as anything could be, because the Bible says that the Lord Jesus Christ, when he died, by one offering has he perfected forever them that are sanctified. And so Jesus said that by one offering, Jesus has purged our sins in Hebrews chapter 1. He has paid for all of our sin. He has taken away our sin. He has buried our sin. He says our sins and iniquities he will remember against us no more. And this is taught through the whole Bible. When you repent of your sin and put your faith in Christ as Lord and Savior, your sin is wiped out as if you have never committed it. That is the most fundamental teaching of the whole Bible. And anything else is just a false addition to Christianity that doesn't come from God. And so Origen taught a lot of falsehood, and he was honored because he had defended Christianity, but at the same time, he was a great corrupter of Christianity. And Origen's Bible that he had put together is the basis of the modern counterfeit scriptures, like the New ASV or the NIV or RSV, all of these corrupt Bibles that take the names of Jesus out in 100 places. And by the way, we give these out, and sometimes it takes me a while to get them all out, but we give a paper. It shows 100 places where the names of Jesus have been eliminated from these Alexandrian Bibles. And it gives the exact reference, so it's very easy to check them. And I will send them to you if you call me. Now, if you're interested, call right away, because sometimes a few weeks ago we got so many calls we couldn't get them all. For these papers, we give them out for free. And our number is 901-0933, 901-0933. You call in and give us your address, and we will send this out to you for free. We want these papers to get out, and you can duplicate them and give them out. 901-0933. The long distance is 888-677-9673. 888-677-9673. And I'm going to go back. Sometimes somebody has an offer, and I don't get my pen up in time, but the local number is 216-901-0933. Now, we believe that God has given us the King James that comes from 6,000 of the manuscripts. That's over 99% of the ancient Greek manuscripts back up the King James Bible, plus translations of it, the Old Latin, the Syriac Peshitta, the Gothic, Cyril and Methodius, Slavic translation, all of these translations, the translations at the Protestant Reformation. The Baptist Jews, they had translations out, and the Protestants had translations out. And the King James is based on this over 99% of the ancient Greek manuscripts. So anyway, Origen put out his corruption of the scripture. And there was the Council of Nicaea in 325. Diocletian had tried to wipe out the Bibles in 300. He was the emperor of Rome. And he killed Christians, and he burned Bibles. And then Constantine, at the Council of Nicaea in 325, they stood for Jesus Christ as being deity and being God. But later on, through his sister's influence, he reversed himself, and Eusebius of Nicomedia, whom he had banished, he had brought him back, and he became Constantine's pastor. This was a man that taught that Jesus Christ was a created being like the Jehovah's Witnesses. And by the way, the Bible says Jesus is God, It says, "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be the least among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth who shall rule my people Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting." Of course, that's changed in modern versions, but Jesus Christ always was, and that's what the Hebrew text says, because Jesus Christ was God. And so at that time, Constantine put out scriptures, the counterfeit scriptures, and they were called Vaticanus and Sinaiticus. And people on all sides believe that these two manuscripts were put out about 335, put out by Constantine. The King James believers and the corruptors all believe that. And this Vaticanus Sinaiticus, the Christians did not use those Bibles, and so they were put on the shelf. In the year 1450, a man named Lorenzo Valla stated that the Greek text of the Greek Orthodox Church was more reliable because it was Greek than the Vulgate text of the Roman Catholic Church that was put out by Jerome. And so at that time, the Pope put out the Vatican Bible from his library, and he has promoted that ever since that time as the authority. And so the modern versions are based on his Vatican Bible. The Roman Catholic Church has always been against the King James, and they burned it in the 19th century, even in the United States. And a number of people have told me that their priest said that they would, it was a mortal sin, they'd die and go to hell if they read the King James Bible. But recently they've been on the Bible committees because the modern scriptures have been based on the Pope's Vatican Bible, and this was put out by Constantine, who actually became an Arian. And it disagrees with the over 99% of the Koine Greek manuscripts that we have today. Well, Jesus said, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." And thank God, when we read the King James Bible, we are reading the Word of God, and it is true and it is perfect. And if you would like this paper, it has 100 places where the modern ones take out Jesus' name. Our number is 901-0933, and the engineer will get that, get your address, and we'll send it out to you for free. And if you'd like to talk to us, you could call in, and we'll be glad to talk to you. We have many books written on this subject in great detail, people that have really studied this subject in detail, and they're tremendous books. And I'd be glad to give you these and refer to these. Well, you have a wonderful day. Jesus is alive and well, and he's coming back, and he's the King and Lord of Lords.
You have been listening to Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. We trust you've been challenged and encouraged by today's program. To receive a free handout listing the 100 verses in the New Testament where the names of Jesus have been eliminated in the modern versions, send your email request to bbteuclid@yahoo.com. That's bbteuclid@yahoo.com. Where is God's Word is sponsored by the Bible Baptist Temple of Euclid. Pastor Andy Rusnacko and the congregation extend a cordial invitation for you to join them at their services. Sunday school is at 10:30, followed by morning worship at 11. The Sunday evening service is at 7, and the midweek prayer and Bible study is Wednesday at 7. Bible Baptist Temple is located at 1565 Chardon Road in Euclid. For complete ministry information, please visit online at BibleBaptistEuclid.com. That's BibleBaptistEuclid.com. Thank you for listening. This program is sponsored by the Bible Baptist Temple of Euclid, Ohio.